If God has turned his back on Israel, why is Jesus returning there?
Satan is saying, well, it's not personal. It's just that the Jew's in the way. The Jew is in the way of my plan. My plan, you see, as Satan, is to not have an Israel existing in the last days, because if it does, then there's a Jerusalem that exists. I can't have that, because that's where the Bible says the Messiah returns. We can't have him back.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with Pastor Mark Henry and Mondo Gonzalez. It has often been said that if you want to know what time it is on God's clock, watch the Jews, Jerusalem, and Israel. How can a nation the size of New Jersey be so prominent and also cause all the nations to be in an uproar? We'll talk about it. Here is today's program.
Once God removes the church from the earth, it's very clear in Scripture, Old and New Testament. He begins to focus on the nation of Israel. The scales will fall from their eyes like they fall from Saul of Tarsus's eyes, and the Jew will begin to believe and to follow God. By the way, it begins, if you read Ezekiel 38, with that battle. Then they will begin to believe in God. The Ezekiel 38 battle, whenever that is a real, no pun intended, eye-opener, or maybe pun is intended. They will begin to see him. And that will begin to expand. By the time you come to the seven-year tribulation period, what's the seven-year tribulation period for? 100% Jewish, 100% described in the scriptures as being Jew-centric, Messiah-centric. It's 100% clear that it is the judgment of the unbelieving Gentile world while God is focusing on the remnant of the believing Israel.
Thank you, Pastor Jack Hibbs. He is so right. The Bible is prophecy-focused. It's Israel-centric. The tribulation is Jewish-centric. We're going to take a serious look at apologetics this hour. And I have heard from so many of you that you're trying to understand the times. You're trying to understand even the current conflict in the Middle East. Is this going to spread to a global conflict? You're trying to understand the theology of your church, or you're dealing with theological accusations from people in your life, and they're talking about theologies you don't really understand. And what does the Bible say about all that is going on and all that is in today's headlines? Is your church telling you the truth, or are they teaching a doctrine that has you just terribly confused? Maybe they're teaching that, don't you know, Jesus was a Palestinian? Well, that's not possible, folks. Maybe they're teaching you that there is only one covenant people, and that would be the church. And is the evangelical position on Israel today heresy? That is, believing that if we bless Israel and the Jews, we will be blessed? And why do so many denominations, including a few evangelical denominations, scoff at that? And what is going on with Israel derangement syndrome? It is out of control. My guest today and I believe that all end time activity revolves around three things: the Jews, Jerusalem, and Israel. And we are seriously denigrated by those who believe this is foolishness. Don't we know that God is finished with the Jews? They disobeyed, they were judged, they have become irrelevant. And many Christians today are siding with the so-called Palestinians. That would be a program in itself, the origin of the Palestinians. These Christians are hoping that the Jews will give up vast portions of their land and give it to these so-called Palestinians, even give them their own state. So, one's theology can prevent many from seeing that Israel has a right to the land, to the Temple Mount, to so much more. And many Christians do not seem to care, even the fact that the Bible says salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. Joining me for the hour would be two pastors, Pastor Mark Henry from Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and Mondo Gonzalez, who currently is a part of the Prophecy Watchers ministry in Oklahoma City. Gentlemen, welcome into the studio. So appreciate it.
It's good to be here.
Jan, thanks for having us.
Theological accusation, number one, many will try to tackle this hour. We support the Jews in their unbelief. The problem is the Bible says, Ezekiel 36 and maybe even 37, they're going to return to the land in unbelief. Gradually, a phased-in experience is going to happen where they become interested in the gospel began in the 60s and the 70s, culminates in the Battle of Gog and Magog, where they get their spiritual eyes really opened. Whether we're here or not, Gog Magog, we don't know. Probably not, but we don't know. They're a nation largely in unbelief, but Mark Henry, you and I and Mondo and most evangelicals support them anyway.
Absolutely, Jan. And the reason is God has a plan for Israel. He's got a plan for them in the past. He's got a plan for them in the present. He's got a plan for them in the future. And you just can't divorce that from the Bible. You can't just rip that out and say, that's not important. No, he chose Abraham. He said he would make him into a great nation. He promised him a land. He promised him inheritance in the land. And God doesn't lie. And so we're looking forward to him keeping his promises to ethnic Israel. Praise God. The scriptures come through the Jews. Salvation, Jesus Christ comes through the Jews. Jesus is the Savior for not just the Gentiles, but for the Jews as well. That's why everyone needs to believe him, Jew and Gentile, during this time, during the time of the Gentiles. But we're looking forward to God keeping his promises for Israel in the future. And that's why we support him.
Mondo Gonzalez, you and I, we take the Bible very, very literally. Many people go to churches that simply do not. We are premillennial dispensationalists, but many are in churches that are amillennial, covenant theology, replacement theology, and there are other theologies, and if time allows, we can try to get into them. But they would believe that God cast away the Jews due to their unbelief and their unfaithfulness and granted those promises given to Israel to the church, and we're going to look at that as well as other things. You are right along with Mark as far as we're going to stand with the Jews no matter what. And that's kind of a biblical commandment. It's as simple as that when it gets down to it.
Yeah, it really is. I think if we make some qualifications or at least some understanding because of these accusations, we stand with the Jews, but we don't endorse imperfect governments. We need
that's
to say
exactly
that.
Right.
When we say we stand with the Jews, I think Mark said it perfectly. We stand with the word of God. We stand with the promises that God made to Israel and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all the way through and the future. When we say ultimately, indirectly, I would say that we're standing with the Jews, but directly we're standing with the promises of God, which we know include promises to them and also promises of a future restoration. The entire world is going to be blessed. I mean, this is Romans 11. And Paul, he asked the question, if the Gentiles get salvation from their stumbling, what is the world going to get from their restoration? So we see that, we take it straight forward. We know that it's coming. The fact that God is bringing the Jews in fulfillment of scripture from all the countries of the world back to the land, but it's for the purpose of blessing the entire world, as Romans 11 teaches.
I want to play a quick clip here. It is of Pastor Jack Hibbs, and he did an online presentation that was so helpful. And the point he makes here is, hey, folks, where does Jesus return to? It's not Keokuk, Iowa.
If you're into replacement theology and you think that Israel is illegitimate today, as some of these popular, very emotionally driven, famous pastors who have written these books and sermons that have so replaced Israel with the church that they've backed themselves in the corner. So now people are asking them, well, hey, what's going on right now? What's going on? Oh, Israel's not even supposed to be existing today. Oh, the government of Israel is illegitimate. All that's going on there doesn't even count. Listen, Jesus, you need to meet Jesus at the checkpoint. They say, you need to meet Jesus. Jesus was a disenfranchised, displaced Palestinian. That is heresy. That's the talk of Satan and hell itself. To say that Jesus is a Palestinian, how in the world is that possible when Jesus predated Palestine in his life? How did that ever happen? There's a lot of deception going on out there, people. So let me ask you this. You see, if you begin to muddy the waters and say that there is no Israel that's viable today, that what's happening in the Middle East right now, the battle over Jerusalem as Israel's capital, then answer this. When Jesus Christ returns, oh, wait a minute. Not all of you believe that he is going to return. Let's take a wild leap. Let's say the Bible's true for a moment and Jesus returns. Do you know where he's returning to? What does the Bible say? Just please indulge me for a moment. Is it Canada? Oh, I know. He's coming to California. This is where so many Jews live. The environment's the same. California? No, he returns to Israel. The Bible says so. More specifically than that, let's take our microscope and let's dial down. Let's zoom in. Where does he set up his throne? In D.C.? No. Americans who are watching right now, shocker. God is not an American. Thank God for that. No, he's not returning to D.C. He's going to return to Jerusalem to establish his throne as promised by the Old Testament prophets. That's if you believe in them. That's even if your church studies the Old Testament prophets. I already mentioned this, but the 7-year tribulation period has nothing to do with the church, nor is the church mentioned. in the 7-year tribulation period, but Israel is. And so are Gentiles who come to faith. And so are those who are being beheaded because they did not accept the mark of the beast of the Antichrist.
Mark Henry, probably if a particular church doesn't care a whole lot about the fact that the king is coming, they would acknowledge Jesus will come back someday, and that's kind of where they leave it. They probably don't care about the nation of Israel either, do they?
Well, if you're all millennialists, you're just jumping to the eternal state. Yeah, I remember the first time I was debating someone who was a Presbyterian ordained pastor, and we were talking about these things. And I realized he's not looking forward to the millennial kingdom and Jesus keeping his promises to ruling and reigning in Jerusalem and fulfilling the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant. They're just looking to the eternal state. But God has a whole series of things that he's promised that he will bring about. Either God has lied to these people, the Jewish people, or he's made promises to them and he's going to keep it. God does not lie. Let man be found a liar, but God be found true.
Mondo, we are accused of being supporters of those who represent the synagogue of Satan. And that's in the Bible several places, Revelation 2, Revelation 3. Paul refers to it, that the modern state of Israel is really not Israel, that this is proof that we can and should abandon them. Can you help people understand this reference to a synagogue of Satan? Because that opens up a Pandora's box a lot of times we can't close.
The phraseology of synagogue of Satan appears in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. As always, what's the context? Well, Jesus is having John write his words to a local church in what we would know as modern-day Turkey in Asia Minor. There's a specific context there. This isn't a prophecy that's happening in the modern times. And what was going on there, it's very clear that the Christians were being persecuted by Jews. Well, that's not any surprise. The whole book of Acts, you see starting again in Jerusalem with Stephen in Acts 7, and Paul, he's going around, he's preaching at synagogues, and he's getting persecuted mainly by Jewish people who were not believers in Jesus. So what Jesus says to them, it's very fascinating. I think he makes reference to the passage in Romans chapter 2, where Paul is writing as a Jewish person saying, the one who is a true Jew, they have to be ethnic, certainly they have the ethnic, but they have to be spiritually followers of Jesus. That is a true Jew, one who is not only ethnically Jewish, but a follower of Jesus Messiah. So when Jesus is saying to them, the synagogue of Satan, these are those, they're not real Jews. Well, that Romans 2 is very clear that they're not fulfilled, if you want to say fulfilled Jews, which is often the case today. What he also says is I find interesting. He says that he will make them come and bow down at the feet of the Gentiles. Well, this is a passage out of Isaiah 60, where in that passage, the wicked, evil Gentiles are going to come and bow down at the feet of the Jews. And so Jesus is using this phraseology kind of as a slap going, those truths, I'm going to make it happen here as well. I think anybody trying to take that first century context, forcing it on today, again, that's just not good hermeneutics.
You want to add to that, Mark?
Jan, as I read through the gospel accounts, and I think it's in John chapter 11, Jesus talks about how the Jews there will persecute the church, and they will think that they're serving God. They'll think that they're being zealous. Didn't Saul think that? Remember on the Damascus Road, he says he's zealous for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he said he did it in ignorance, and he persecuted the church. And then Jesus interrupts him on that Damascus Road, and he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus. And then he says, what should I do? And then he becomes zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes in him. And you know, one of my great joys is to see my Jewish friends, ethnic Jews, trust in Jesus and become zealous for him in the gospel because they realize that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one of Israel. God's keeping his promises and bringing it all together.
But if somebody came to you, Mark, and said, I'm not getting involved in this current conflict, and besides you are just followers of what the Bible calls the synagogue of Satan, how would you answer that in about a minute?
I would just simply say again what Mondo said. The context is, the Jewish synagogues in those two cities were exercising their ability to bring persecution against the Christians, just like Saul did. They are saying, we're for God. And it's like, no. In fact, Jesus says it this way in John 8:44. He says, you are not of your father Abraham. You're of your father the devil. And so it doesn't matter who you are, whether Jew or Greek, Romans chapter 2 and chapter 3, we're all under sin. We're all in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ethnicity, because we're Jews and we think our salvation is tied up in our ethnicity, Jesus unravels that in John 8. You got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Greek.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio Pastor Mark Henry. You can reach him at markhenryministries.com, markhenryministries.com, Pastors Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and Mondo Gonzalez, who's with Prophecy Watchers in Oklahoma City. And you can learn more at prophecywatchers.com, prophecywatchers.com. I want to play another clip here and come back and talk about it and hear The speaker, Hank Hanegraaff, is going to talk about the fact that there are not two covenant people, there's just one covenant people, based on Galatians 3:29, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham, you are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you.
A second major theological fault line underlying Christian Zionism is the notion that God has two distinct people. It arose with a 19th century disillusioned priest from the Church of England who joined with a separatist millenarian movement called the Plymouth Brethren. And he did it in 1831, about the same time that Darwin sailed off into evolutionary fame. Like Darwin, Darby was a trendsetter. He contended that God had two distinct people with two distinct plans and two distinct destinies. And only one of those people, the Jews, would suffer tribulation. The other, the church, would be removed from the world in a secret coming 7 years prior to the second coming of Christ. And that distinctive twist on Scripture, known as dispensational eschatology, is now the reigning eschatology in certainly the West. And though it is wildly popular, there is nothing biblically to commend it. Far from communicating a distinction between Israel and the church, the scripture from beginning to end reveals that God has only ever had one chosen people. In fact, the precise terminology that is used to describe the children of Israel in the Old Testament is ascribed to the church in the New Testament. Peter calls them a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Ultimately, they are the one chosen people of God, not by virtue of their genealogical relationship to Abraham, but by virtue of their genuine relationship to the living stone rejected by God and chosen by men. May I say it plainly? God is not a racist. He does not choose you based on your birth mother. He chooses you based on your relationship to Yahweh, the God of Israel, revealed in Jesus Christ. Nor is God a land broker. He's not a real estate agent. Land does not belong to a people because of their genetic evidence. Ultimately, this is a matter of relationship, not race. Furthermore, the Old and the New Testament reveal only one covenant community. While this one covenant community is physically rooted in the offspring of Abraham, it is spiritually grounded in one singular seed. Now read Galatians 4. Munther mentioned this. It's a passage we should be familiar with. Galatians chapter 3, I should say, where Paul says that Abraham only had one seed. Not seeds plural, he says, but seed singular. The royal seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. The double entendre by the time you get to the end of the chapter is that if you are in Jesus Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, or for that matter, Jew and Palestinian, or whether you're slave or free, or whether you're male or female. It has nothing to do with gender, has nothing to do with nationality. It has nothing to do with your station in life. If you are in Christ, you are the royal seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise.
That was, again, Hank Hanegraaff speaking at Christ at the Checkpoint. That meets again in May of 2024. They meet, I think, every other year. They get together to talk about how pro-Palestinian they are and how anti-Israel they are and try to justify it and slam the wall that separates Israel from the Palestinians. Mark, your thoughts on what you just heard, because, again, some of these verses are troubling and confusing to a lot of my listeners.
He understands nothing about the book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul went and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Savior, the promised one. Jews and Gentiles believed in the region of Galatia.
Yeah.
Then Judaizers came in and said, it's not enough to believe in Jesus. You got to keep the Mosaic law. So if you understand the book of Galatians, they're trying to confuse salvation is partly believing in Jesus and partly by keeping the Mosaic covenant. The purpose of Galatians 3 is to predate the Mosaic covenant. How is it that Jew and Gentile is saved? By faith. God made a promise, and it's very, very important. The promise that is made in Genesis is Jesus. Salvation comes of the Jews. You started our whole time here together with that in John 4:22. So salvation is of the Jews. We're looking for Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That is the point. salvation by faith predates the Mosaic Law. Mosaic Law doesn't save us. So whether you're Jew or Gentile, it is true that salvation is in Christ. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the blessing that comes to us from God through Abraham and his descendants.
Mondo, we're constantly being told, including in that little clip, that what we believe as it concerns eschatology, as it concerns our stand for Israel. The one who put it on the map was John Nelson Darby in about 1830. That's obviously nuts because it goes far back in the Bible as I can read it. So where did these people come up with that? Because that's such a false label that's been hung on everything.
It really is. When you look at those that have refuted this myth, it's like the myth.
And they have refuted.
Yeah, we refuted the idea of that dispensationalism or the idea of the two covenants, the two peoples of God. I'd like to address that too.
Yes, you go
that
ahead.
Started in 1830. Totally not true. It goes back to the book of Ephesians because in Ephesians 2:15, Paul is writing about this new dispensation, this new understanding of the gospel and what it's doing. And he says crystal clear there that in place of the two, in place of the Jews and in place of the Gentiles, God has created one new man,
one new
body. So here you have now two groups, Jews and Gentiles, and the church. In 1 Corinthians 10:32, Paul's writing, he says this, it's kind of a casual phrase. He says, give no offense to either Jew or Greek or the church of God. And so here again, now you have this one new group that is different than the others. What I find fascinating is that if you go from a historical perspective, even Old Testament, this is where Hank Hanegraaff, again, does a lot of good in other apologetics, but here he's, I don't want to be mean, but he's clueless about the Old Testament, because if you look at the Old Testament, for example, the breastplate of the priest, 12 tribes, right? If you go to Ezekiel 40 through 48, the temple, the millennial temple, has gates with the 12 tribes. But what's fascinating to me, if you go to Revelation 21 and 22, the new Jerusalem, the city, it has 24 gates. 12 of them are the 12 tribes, and 12 of them are the apostles. So if you want to talk about two groups, you have it set in eternity, the two groups. So for him to say that there's not two covenant peoples, there's one, the elect. If you want to say everybody's a believer or use that phraseology, yes, we're all believers. But God does make that distinction between the two groups clearly, again, for eternity, as we see in Revelation 21 and 22.
Jan, another thing that he mentioned there is God's not a land broker.
Mm-hmm, right.
Excuse me, God created everything in the heavens and the earth. He owns it all. And if he decides to give some property to the Jewish people, he has every right to do that. It's his property. In fact, over and over, he talks about throughout the prophets, my land.
My land.
God references
Thank
my
you.
Land, my land. And then he says, their land. I'm going to put them in their land. Follow the pronouns, follow the verbs. God's in control. It's his property.
I'd like to add to that because as they're making their way up in Deuteronomy chapter 2 into the land, he's like, that's not your land. I gave it to them. He's rehearsing Moab and Edom and who he's giving it to, genetic peoples. That's the sons of Lot. You know, those are the Ishmaelites or whatever. So when you come to Israel, he very much says, this is given to the ethnic people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he does it again with the other land. So to say that God's not a land broker, you need to read the Old Testament.
And if you've ever read Acts chapter 17, when Paul preaches at Mars Hill, one of the things he emphasizes is the fact that God of heaven and earth gives boundaries to different nations for different times for his glory and honor. That's true today, it's true in the past.
Yeah, that's good.
And God has made a promise to Israel, they're getting their land.
Both of you gentlemen, we carry one of your books. I want to just say a quick word about it, and then I have a question based on your book, Mondo, but yours is titled The Red Heifer Ritual, The Last Piece of the Third Temple Puzzle. It's in my online store, folks. It's written by Mondo Gonzalez. You said this to me in an email. You said, they officially turned 2 years old, 2 years and 1 month. For the first time in 1900 years, we have four qualified red heifer candidates. And then you say, this is about the only good news to report, but with the war going on, it's unlikely that a ceremony on the Mount of Olives would be allowed to take place unless it was done secretly. And then I think I asked you, haven't there been many red heifers that seem to qualify and they usually sprout a white hair or two and they're out? Why are these so special?
There's always been potential candidates. And the key was is that they were under the 2 year old and 1 month time frame.
Okay.
So there's never been a candidate that has been over that age. So again, the calf is born, they're watching it. And then before it gets to that 2 years and 1 month, which again is the minimum requirement, it grew hair. So this is the first time in 1900 years that there actually has been not just one, but one of them was disqualified of the five that were flown to Israel. We have four right now. In November 15th, they turned 2 year and 1 month. Four of them are sitting there ready to go. All the qualifications currently are checked off. First time.
What if a missile hit the Temple Mount today, tomorrow? They probably come from Hamas. Hezbollah even could happen. Israel would likely be blamed, even though it would be proven it wasn't an Israeli missile. But let's just say that in some freak accident that were to happen, would this launch a total Mideast war?
As we know, the people surrounding Israel, again, as far away as Iran, they're looking for something. To have something like that, and as we saw with the hospital being bombed,
yes.
Truth is irrelevant. Things get put out there, and yes. What you see is this reaction, like you were talking about before. They're always looking to fight somebody. And, you know, honestly, it's convenient. They don't necessarily care if it's true, but public opinion and truth comes later. And even France was embarrassed because they went out and criticized Israel and then later realized, oops, that was a bad report. So yes, any sort of match on the gasoline that's already there could set it off for sure. Yeah.
And Mark, we're carrying your book, The Man Code, 12 Essentials Every Man Needs to Know. Give us a paragraph on this. And actually, it's coming out through Harvest House. That's a year down the road.
We're looking forward to Harvest House publishing that. We're just so thankful. The question is, as we look through prophetic things, is how do we live now? And quite honestly, friends, we need really good men. You ladies out there, you need to have really good husbands, raise really good sons. Our daughters need to marry really good men. And let's face it, our world is unraveling morally, ethically. And this is just a call back. This is clarity. This is what our men need to be for our churches, for our families, and for the glory of God in these last days.
OliveTreeViews.org and go to our products. OliveTreeViews.org and go to our products or give my office a call. Gentlemen, a lot more to cover. Again, I have referenced the world has gone absolutely globally insane with Israel derangement syndrome. I don't think any of us sitting around this recording table ever thought we would be alive to see what's going on. Obviously, they're going to happen in the tribulation. The Antichrist could go after the Jews, hunt them, kill as many as possible, etc. But I want to talk about that for just a few minutes because I have covered it in some other programming as well. And we are criticized, all three of us, because we seem to be not fully on board behind so-called Palestinian Christians. And I want to talk about that for a few moments. I also want to talk about some of the primary eschatological things that are going on as we speak. Jews are probably going to flee to Israel in spite of the constant conflict there, and we know that that's fulfilling a lot of scripture. So these are just a few places that we're heading in part two of my program, that and more. Please don't go away. Coming right back.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We are ending 2023 with a Mideast war, global instability, serious economic woes, and global deception and delusion at a new level. If we don't hang on to the many biblical promises that God has everything under control, we will sink into despair. Thank you for allowing Olive Tree Ministries to help you understand the times this year. We don't want to just inform you. We also want to encourage you that you are here for such a time as this to be salt and light in a world growing seriously dark. There is often darkness before the dawn. Do encourage one another as Hebrews 10 exhorts. We'll continue to broadcast the good news and troubling headlines this year and into next year as we look up and await His return.
I also see it as a distraction in one way for the globalists. They love chaos. Right. So while everybody's looking over here, they're still working on digital passports, digital IDs, the cashless society. All these things are going on while we're looking over here.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here are Jan Markell, Pastor Mark Henry, and Mondo Gonzalez to wrap up today's program.
Who can't you criticize in America?
The Jewish lobby.
Yes.
On both sides.
Right.
That's right. That tells you who controls the country. But his hands were tied. Who ties the president's hands?
Someone more powerful than the president.
Yes. The Jewish mafia. I personally believe Israel took out John Kennedy. And it's not Muslims that are going to kill us. It's Jews.
Welcome back, folks. So glad you can join me, Jan Markell, with Mondo Gonzalez, prophecywatchers.com, Mark Henry, markhenryministries.com, Mark Pastors, Revived Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and your weekend services, Mark, Saturday, 4 p.m. and
Sunday at 8 and 9:30 and 11.
And your traditional music services are Sunday, 8 a.m. and
9:30.
And incredible music, by the way. Just a heads up here that Mondo Gonzalez is our speaker at Understanding the Times, February 22nd, 2024, with Mark Henry and yours truly, Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, or live stream it. We'll have a lot more info later. And folks, we now have a prayer wall on our website. I don't want to go into the details of it right now. olivetreeviews.org, and then go to contact, and the prayer wall option drops down. You can leave a prayer. You can click on, I prayed for this. You're going to know a lot of people are praying for you if you visit our prayer wall and post your requests there. I need to move on in the interest of time. Gentlemen, so honored to have both of you in studio with me, but I think that what's transpired in the last 6 weeks, and we've seen the entire world, a great segment of it, thankfully, in the last week or two, pro-Israel demonstrations are happening, including in Washington, D.C., but Israel derangement syndrome go on overdrive. And Mark, even in the Twin Cities, at one demonstration alone, 4,000 were cursing Israel in their demonstrations, waving Palestinian flags. Your reaction when you began to see this play out, and I know you were in a deer tent somewhere in Colorado when all of this was bursting at the seams, but you came home and saw, I'm sure you got an eyeful like everyone else.
Jen, you know, I was shocked. It was all unfolding. Of course, our hearts and prayers are with Bibi and the whole administration over there, the Jewish people. I've got lots of Jewish friends, bump into Jewish people all the time. We want to assure them that God has made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has a future for them. And all those promises are tied up in Jesus, and we always try and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But anti-Semitism is not new. Look through biblical history. Ishmael, the half-brother of Isaac, the father of the Jewish people. It describes there in Genesis 16 how he was going to be a wild donkey of a man, how his hand would be against everyone. Yeah. And we've seen this played out through history. We shouldn't be shocked. Satan is behind it all. He wants to eradicate the Jewish people and keep God's promises from being fulfilled.
Mondo, your thoughts as you saw things unfold. First of all, the horrific scenes out of the kibbutzim on October the 7th, obviously justifying a terribly harsh response by Israel, justified in its intensity. And yet the whole world is having a fit over what Israel is doing to send the message, not only are we going to punish you, but we're going to see that it never happens again.
The challenge that I see is the ignorance that you see in the world. And then when it comes to the church, that's even more, in a sense, detrimental to understanding. Because we have the Bible, we have the truths. As Mark just said, we have the scriptures that show all these things. And even in that clip, you have this derangement idea. And if you look at the steps of anti-Semitism, there's very clear steps. What we're seeing today and what I heard in that clip was the demonization of a group. We can find anybody and show how bad they are, how evil they are. But then as soon as you take that one person and you attribute it to a whole group just on the fact of their genetics, that's called racism. And here it's anti-Semitism. So to see it out there and to see people jump into it, many people be like, oh, it must be true about John Kennedy or whatever. And now all of a sudden to see everybody, and this is classic racism. I would hope that people would think a little bit more clear, not get worked up by, again, the emotion and the lack of logical thinking. And in the church, again, the church, we should know better about this because we have the scripture that tells us about the promises of God.
We have already referred to the fact that we're the first to acknowledge, we said this sort of first half, Israel is not a perfect nation. They're in unbelief. Many of them are atheists. But that does not mean that we sanction this kind of hatred, again, the derangement syndrome that's going on literally around the world. What's staggering to me, gentlemen, is that if you take the attendance of these various demonstrations that are in all the capitals of the world, tens of millions of people are protesting. What are they saying? Number one, what they're not acknowledging is what Israel went through on October 7th. And then they seem to be justifying is the new normal, Mark, that we defend barbarism? Has love grown that cold?
What are they chanting in all these different places? From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. What does that mean? It means the eradication of the Jewish people. So actually what they're affirming is exactly what happened on October 7th of the killing of the Jews and removing them from the land. What I think Christians need to wrap their mind around is that God created human government for a reason. The purpose of human government is to protect its citizens. Quite honestly, the United States government has a responsibility to protect the borders of our country and the citizens of this country. Bibi and his administration has that responsibility to protect the Jewish people in that homeland from attacks, outside attacks from anywhere in the world, including the Gaza. And when you have people who are set out and have the mindset that they're willing to be martyrs to kill Jews, you and I both heard the tape of the guy who calls on a Jewish person's phone, calls his mom and dad, celebrates, "Dad, I've killed 10 Jews with my own hands." That is sick and deranged. And if you don't have government to organize and to suppress and to eradicate that for the safety of your own people, it's no longer a functioning government. Christians need to understand that the government is not church. We have two different roles. Our goal is to deliver the gospel to Jew and to Greek around the world. I've risked my life doing that. But governments have a responsibility to protect their people. God bless the IDF and God bless the Jewish people and the state of Israel as they fulfill their responsibility and role of protecting the Jewish people.
I have maintained, Mark and Mondo, and Michelle Bachman virtually said the same on my previous programming, that the world changed on October 7th, 2023, because it seems like some demonic outpouring took place on that day. Are we very far off? I mean, I don't think so.
I was actually shocked. We know that anti-Semitism has been around for a long time. It's satanic. It's Revelation 12. We see that. But what shocked me was to realize, like, the lid was brought off. It had been there in the hearts of all these people all across the world. And this just gave an opportunity. And I actually think, again, God, he makes good out of evil. The evil that happened, God is making good out of it by allowing the average Christian to see the extent of what's going on there. And also, I think that for the church or people like us that have opportunity to influence, to come and to say, let's turn our focus to education here, scriptural, theological precision about understanding Israel. We weren't necessarily doing that 4 months ago. But now God is using it to bring all this understanding of his word in a very precise level, which I think is one of the benefits from what we have seen, the evil that happened.
God is going to bring good out of it somehow. We know that. He always does.
Jan, in Ezekiel, over and over and over again, it says that God will bring the Jewish people back from the land of their enemies. What does that mean? It means that the world has to be a hostile place to the Jewish people so that they return home. That's the good of it, because God's promises are all going to take place around the land, them being back in the land, Jesus coming back to the land, the establishment of Jerusalem.
If Satan could wipe out the Jews, which is his goal, he thinks he can thwart God's end time plan. Doesn't it come down to that? This is why he's had such hatred for millennia?
Absolutely. If he wipes out the Jewish people, then he can't fulfill the Davidic covenant. He can't fulfill the covenant in Jeremiah 31, the new covenant. The book of Revelation makes no sense. You just start ripping out the pages of scripture. But here's the good news. God will protect Israel. The nation of Israel will stand on the other side. In fact, October 7th took place. People were calling me from all around the country. Yeah. What's going to happen, Mark? What's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. This war will not last forever. Israel will stand in the end, and their enemies ultimately will be defeated. And God will ultimately be glorified. Just stand back, watch, help the Jewish people as best you can. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Share Jesus with Jew and Gentile alike. But God is going to be glorified in the end.
Just a quick heads up here, folks, because I had Mark Hitchcock on a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about the fact that Amazon was not going to do the book that he had written. And let me just clarify, Mark's written 40, 50 books with the major publishing houses. His goal was to get the book printed in a week. Normally, these books take 1 to 2 years. Amazon was going to do that, then they backed out, then they did go ahead and they did publish it. So you can find that book, Israel-Gaza War, Connecting Today's Headlines to Tomorrow's Prophetic Events. You can find it by Mark Hitchcock, Pastor Jimmy Evans on Amazon. And some of you get upset when we promote. Look, they're a publishing house that turns things around in days, not years. And that's why sometimes people resort to that when, in fact, the crisis on the earth is so time-sensitive. Wanted to clarify that. And you can watch our website. We may end up carrying it. But right now, if you'd like a wonderful biblical expose about everything going on, Mark Hitchcock's book, is found on Amazon. Gentlemen, I want to play a quick clip. We're going down a different stream. We are criticized heavily for not properly supporting the Palestinian Christian.
We're talking about millions of dollars and political support that is used to continue my oppression.
That's Munzir Ishaq, a Palestinian Christian pastor who lives in Bethlehem, the city where Jesus is believed to have been born, that's now surrounded by this massive wall. It's one of the most imposing parts of Israel's military occupation of Bethlehem and other Palestinian territories, an occupation that's now over 50 years old, meaning several generations of Palestinians have never known freedom.
When you support a specific state who has racist policies and is enforcing an apartheid state, that would be unbiblical in my mind, right? That wouldn't be loving thy neighbor as yourself.
We read the same Bible, but then they are using the Bible as a weapon, I guess. You know, we Christians call the Bible Injil, the good news. So they've turned the good news into our nightmare.
Why is their read of the Bible so different?
Evangelicals read the Bible in a very literal and simple way. They believe that you have to bless Israel so that God blesses you. So it's like Israel becomes a gauge of whether you receive blessing from God. Makes me wonder what kind of God they are meeting in the Bible. The God I meet in the Bible is a God of love, is a God of peace. They see in it an image of God who is a tribal God who favors one nation over everyone else based on a promise that's thousands of years old.
But for Christian Zionists like Sharon, that promise is prophecy. Many believe that the establishment of Israel in 1948, which displaced the majority of the Palestinians who lived there, was all part of God's divine plan.
We see all over God's word that the Jewish people at a certain point in history would begin to find their way back home. And we know that happened in May 1948 when the state became a real nation. And ever since then, the Jewish people have been coming home. It's a miracle, and we've been living in Bible prophecy ever since.
Do you think Jesus, who preached love thy neighbor, would be okay seeing a wall dividing people like that and cutting off people from their land?
He probably would have quoted Genesis 12:3 and said, I'll bless those who bless my people.
When you're talking, I feel like there's a lot of support and elevation of the Jewish people having Israel. But doesn't that contradict the principles of equality that Christianity preaches?
Well, then I think we'd have to go back to God and ask him why he chose the Jewish people. He chose them to be a light to the nations, according to his word. He chose them to bring the Messiah through. I think the key is study what God says, not what man says.
To be clear, not all American Christians read the Bible like this. In fact, in the last few years, several prominent U.S. churches have come out in support of Palestinian rights, even endorsing the Palestinian boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement targeting Israel. But even so, the people who do believe in this prophecy have a huge following. And for them, it all culminates into a biblical grand finale called the end times.
Somebody said, I want to understand the end times, where you just need to look at three things. You look at Jesus, you look at the Jews, and you look at Jerusalem.
Many evangelicals believe that once Jews fully control the land, Jesus will return to earth and rapture Christians up to heaven.
To believers, it's going to be a time of ecstasy and joy and excitement and glory. But to those who do not know him, it's going to be a day of judgment.
If you're a Christian, you will not be around for the tribulation period. You'll be safely in heaven.
And this tribulation period, some believe, is a violent and bloody war for those who remain behind.
Jesus Christ will speak the word and he will summon in the most dramatic act of warfare in human history. He will bring about the slaughter of those who reject him.
And in some interpretations, they believe that two-thirds of the Jews will die. So these Christian Zionists, not all of them believe this specific theology, but many of them do. You're promoting them to come to a specific location in order for them, or two-thirds of them, to die.
It doesn't sound like a holy alliance.
It doesn't.
But this alliance is powerful.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio Mondo Gonzalez from Prophecy Watchers in Oklahoma City, prophecywatchers.com. Pastor Mark Henry from Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, markhenryministries.com. They each have a book. I'm carrying it. You can check in my online store to find them. Mark, as that clip closed, the Palestinian Christian, and I want to look at this really carefully, did make a reference to something we need to talk about, and that would be the fact that you and I and Mondo do believe that Zechariah 13, verses 8 through 9, talk about the fact that two-thirds of the Jews are going to be slaughtered in the end times. Can't help it, the Bible says it. But first, we have not been particularly on board with the Palestinian Christian and their efforts, and you were talking to me about it before the program. Made perfect sense. Talk to us some more.
When you think about Palestinian Christians, keep in mind, from a geographical standpoint, think about the Middle East, you're born into whatever religion you have. So yeah. Many of these Palestinian Christians are not born-again Christians like you and I would normally be thinking, or our listeners would be thinking, Jen. It's really a support of Christendom, us against them sort of thing. And the bottom line is this, we're not committed to any group. We're committed to a person, the person of Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, God, and Savior. That's what it means that Jesus is Lord. Jesus has a plan for the Jews. Jesus has a plan that we hold on to, starting in Genesis chapter 12, with the promises to Abraham, the promises to David in 2 Samuel 7, the promises of the new covenant, and God's going to bring those about. Now, if a Christian, whether born again or not, opposes that, you and I need to stand up and say, no, that isn't what Jesus says. And they can be offended. They can say, I have rights. But just remember this, that God has a plan that Satan is opposing. There's only two kingdoms, and you and I need to get on board with God's plan.
There is a small stream of evangelical Palestinian Christians. Pastor Steve Curry, his Bethlehem Baptist Church, is very effective. I had Stephen speak at my 2014 conference. Everyone just loved him. So, Mondo, the verse that was referred to there, actually, I'm going to bring the verse in, but two-thirds of the Jews are going to be killed, and we support it. Zechariah 13, 8 and 9, and it will come about in all the land, declares the Lord, that two parts in it will be cut off and perish, but the third will be left in it. And I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, test them as gold is tested. They will call in my name, and I will answer them, and I will say, these are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. Again, very bluntly states that two-thirds of them are going to be brought through the fire and refined. All we can do is help to interpret Scripture.
I'd like to make a comment before that, in the sense that this was a master manipulative clip or section. Yeah. I think we have to pray every day for discernment, because what was said there, you pick a pastor and then you pick somebody that's not necessarily an expert in theology. And then you have her speak for a whole group of people, which evidently would be us, and didn't necessarily articulate things well. And then to say, well, what would Jesus do if he's standing here with this wall?
Exactly.
When was the wall built? Why was the wall built? You didn't ask that question. Yeah. The wall was built because of terrorism. It's interesting, the manipulation that's taking place. But again, then you villainize this group of people that believes, oh my gosh, they believe in Zechariah 13:8. Well, to me, Scripture is very clear that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Even when God was pronouncing judgment on Israel for their sins against him, he never rejoiced. And especially in the book of Ezekiel, in the context, they were just getting ready to be kicked out of the land. Jerusalem, where his name was, is going to be destroyed. And so when we come to Zechariah 13:8, it just reminds me as well that this is a truth, what God has said will happen. But in Luke 19 and Luke 21, Jesus gives prophecies about the destruction of the city, the destruction of the temple, very similar. Again, what is he doing? He's weeping over it. Yeah. Again, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So what we're seeing in Scripture here, we're simply saying, this is what God said is going to happen, but for what reason? Just like with Jesus, he desired to gather Israel together like chicks under his wings, but they were unwilling. The purpose of Zechariah 13:8 and 9 is not simply just destruction. It's to bring them back and to bring them through the tribulation, because why? Salvation is through Jesus, their Messiah. That's what God is doing. And so when we look at Zechariah 13:8, we don't rejoice that it's going to happen. We just recognize that it is. And again, we're sad, but we also know that God's heart is redemption of Israel.
And not only that, Jan, there's something worse than two-thirds of the Jews, and that's called eternity in hell. And
that's the
reason we are calling Jew and Gentile, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your opportunity to escape from the wrath of God, whether it's the horrible tribulation or even worse, condemnation in hell.
Yep, no.
Hell is a real place. People ask me all the time, do you really believe in hell? God's a loving God. God is so loving that Jesus becomes flesh, dies on a cross so that you might have everlasting life. We cannot reject him. We must believe in him so we might have God's grace and deliverance from the wrath that is to come.
The implication of the interview was, it's a long interview, I just played a couple of minutes, is that the three of us belong to the cult of Christian Zionism, and we are so denigrated for trying to stand on the Bible and justify everything that we believe from the Bible, but we belong to a cult, according to many, heavily on the religious left, I would acknowledge.
I would say that clip is not so much attacking us. It's attacking the Holy Spirit who given us the Holy Scriptures. And that prophetic passage there is the history that's coming.
Yes.
So what do you do about it? Rather than attacking you as the deliverer of that message, what do you do? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Gentile, today.
Play one more clip, and then we're going to talk about it for a moment or two.
If Israel's been replaced by the church, and what we're seeing today in the news is just a joke, we should let Hamas slaughter every Jew. We should just let them kill them all. They're illegitimate people. They're the Christ rejectors. Remember? Even our beloved Martin Luther, whose theology was good, but it wasn't perfect. He despised the Jews. Did you know that Adolf Hitler picked up on Martin Luther's evaluation of the Jewish state and the Jewish people? And Hitler believed, or at least he used, I don't know what he believed, he was possessed. Conveniently, Adolf Hitler used portions of the doctrine of Martin Luther to justify his destruction of the Jewish people. Historically, have the Jews always had to fight for their existence? Yeah. Now, granted, God said, you disobey me as the chosen people, and you go throw me off, you go do your own thing, you're going to really suffer. You should come back under the umbrella of my love. But listen, they're Jews, and they're stubborn. It doesn't mean they've lost the covenant. The covenant was made with Abraham while Abraham was sleeping like a baby. The Bible says that God, who could swear by none greater, swore with himself over Abraham.
I think, Mark, a takeaway I have from the hour we've done here today is that it's a terrible thing to be chosen by God. There are consequences when you're chosen and you mess up. How can we apply that to believers?
To whom much is given, much is required.
Yes.
So the Jewish people, they had the scriptures, they had the prophets, they had Moses, and they had Jeremiah, and they had Samuel, and they had all these great prophets. So they had a huge responsibility.
Yes.
But you know what, Jan? You and I have a huge responsibility. All of you who listen to me have a huge responsibility. And know that Satan is the arch enemy of the Jews, and he's the arch enemy of the church made up of Jew and Gentile in this age, the time of the Gentiles. And that's the reason hundreds of thousands of Christians die every year for the sake of the gospel.
Let me ask this closing question here. Where do you see the current scenario going? We're not in Kansas anymore. The genie has come out of the bottle. I think what we have staring at us, a central bank digital currency, a world run by artificial intelligence, probably a lot more political corruption up ahead. There's not a lot of good news out there. If either one of you could give me a date for the rapture, that would be excellent. Be a great way to end our hour. Obviously, the Bible says we can't do that. So where do you see, Mondo, where do you see this going and wrapping up?
I see that Israel is surrounded by enemies. The enemies are not going away, and Israel's not going to turn around and commit genocide on all of their neighbors. In fact, because Islam is the fountain, really, of the hate, even in the Quran, what I see happening is just continual turmoil all the way until we come to the tribulation period. Israel is going to have to defend itself. It can't rely on anybody but itself, as it's seeing. The United States, as we know, one day will betray them, and they're already betraying them in so many ways behind the scenes. What I see here is continual turmoil as it relates to the Middle East, Israel's defense. But secondly, I also see it as a distraction in one way for the globalists. They love chaos.
Right.
So while everybody's looking over here, they're still working on digital passports, digital IDs, the cashless society. All these things are going on while we're looking over here.
Mark, where do you think things are going?
Mondo's absolutely right. There's a distraction going on in the global scene. As I'm just watching, Jan, I just think that the upheaval around the world, the anti-Semitism, will unify them and drive them back to the land. And the Jews, many of them, are praying for the first time. Secular Jews praying for God's help, God's safety, God's blessing, praying over their weapons that they work. I've got amazing stories of God answering prayers of secular Jews throughout this conflict already. As that continues to take place, I think there's going to not only be increased anti-Semitism going forward, I think it's going to be anti-Christian influence around the world. Just this last week, I read an article from Ken Ham, and he was saying 3% of kids in America, their worldview is biblical. I went through that same exact criteria with my grandsons this last week. Is there a God? Is he holy? How do you view the Bible? How do you view Jesus? All these different things. And we've got biblical ignorance in America and in the Western world at this highest level. You've got the influence of Islam throughout the West. In 2005 was the first time I went through Europe to go preach in Africa. And in 2005, I came back and I told everybody, don't worry about Iran having a nuclear device, because the reality is in 20 years, Islam's going to control all of Western Europe and have all of those nukes. And they're going to turn against Israel. And right now we're seeing that. I mean, I couldn't believe it looked like hundreds of thousands of people the other day protesting in London. So I just think that's going to all increase. And it's going to move Israel back to the land. I think it's going to purge the church. The church will be more holy, more consecrated both here and abroad, than we've ever seen before.
Wonderful to see a pro-Israel demonstration in Washington. Very, very encouraging. Folks, again, Mondo's book, The Red Heifer Ritual, The Last Piece of the Third Temple Puzzle. Find it in my store, olivetreeviews.org, or call my office. Mark Henry's book, The Man Code, 12 Essentials Every Man Needs to Know. Find that in my online store as well. Let me go out of the program just by saying that it's no accident that you are a part of this generation. You and I have a front row seat to an incredible drama. It may be the last act is about to play out. We can't always figure out who the players are in this drama without a printed program, and that would be the Bible. But we do know how it all ends, and we are on the fast track to it. The Bible says that all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Do so today, won't you? No one is guaranteed a tomorrow. I want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week.
You are the love song we'll sing forever.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Remember that His eye is on the sparrow, but you are engraved in the palm of His hand. Know that nothing is out of control because God is always in control. He allows all things to happen so that everything can fall into place.